So I'm here as a substitute, and I recall that in this one church, a pastor was on vacation, and another pastor came to preach. And he wanted to explain to the congregation that he was there as a substitute. So he said, "You see the glass window over there?" He said, "If you take that out, put in a piece of cardboard, the cardboard is the substitute." Well, he preached his sermon. When he was through, the lady came up and said, "Mister, you were no substitute. You were a real pain." I guess you have to think about it a while, but it's a privilege to be here. I'm glad to be here. The other night I told the youth group, "When you're as old as I am, you're glad to be able to be anywhere." I thought on this Father's Day, it would be vitally important for us to think about the importance of a biblical family. The text is Ephesians 5, 17 through 6, 4. Would you prayerfully follow the reading of God's Word? Ephesians 5, 17 through 24. A biblical family. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is destructive, but be filled with the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in reverence for God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Because the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. A biblical family. As we think about being here this morning on Father's Day, 2007, there is so much going on around us. You think internationally, at war. The last I read, there were at least 26 wars going on between nations. And we are at war with people who want to destroy us, particularly Christians. In our own nation, we are at war. Our politicians are at war, divided between those who want our country to become socialistic and those who want individual, personal freedom. Morally, we are in rapid moral decline. That which is immoral is becoming more public. Everybody has access. Spiritually, there are some large churches, but there seems to be no impact upon society. There's something missing. And what's missing? Well, God Himself. The gospel is missing. Family, the American family is in decline. And I say to you this morning, this may be the most important. The way to build a strong church is through strong families. The way to build a strong nation is through strong churches. So what we are talking about this morning is vitally important. Look again at verse 17, please. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Or you could name all the rest of it, whatever you might be into, including all drugs. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the issue here? The issue is control. Do not be controlled by alcohol or drugs or any other such thing, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is a perfect introduction to the passage about a biblical home. Now, what's the evidence of the control of the Holy Spirit? It's spelled out right here. We don't have to go far. under the control of the Holy Spirit, we are praising God. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Secondly, it says we are giving thanks to the Lord for all things. And thirdly, we are submitting to one another in reverence for God. Now there's the rub. Praising, singing, thinking, okay, submitting, different ballgame. Children do not like to submit. Young people do not like to submit. Adults do not want to submit. It requires a divine work of God changing our heart to cause us to submit. But it is vitally important for marriage. No marriage can last where there is not submission. So this is a wonderful introduction. Now, as we get into the specifics of husbands, wives, young people, let me preface it by saying any biblical family only occurs by the grace of God. It's all by Him. It's not because of human works or human goodness or human wisdom. It comes about by Him. He gets the glory. It's by God's sovereign power working in our hearts. Now, God ordained marriage and family. It didn't come from us. And way back in eternity past, there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Decide to create. What shall we do? Well, we'll make some stars and suns, and we'll make an earth. We'll put some people on it. And what will these people be like? Well, we'll create a male. And we'll create a female. And then, through the union of that male and female, we will create a human race. And here we are today. Male and female, different. Male and female, different. Now, in our case, in 2 months, we're coming up on 52 years of marriage. Yeah, that's for you, wife. And let me say, we are different. Big different. Just for instance, if we're at a restaurant or a market and she's going to pay, and the bill is like $16.68. Now she whips out her wallet, fumbles through that thing, trying to find a 10 and a 5 and a 1. If she can't find that, she'll search for 6 ones. If she can't find that, she'll try to count out 16 ones. Then she gets her coin purse, and she finds 68 cents. And I'm saying, give them a 20 and let's go. Well, there are other differences. You say, Well, how'd you make it through 52 years? Grace of God. God's grace enabled us to put our love above our differences. God's grace enabled us to put our love above our weaknesses and our faults. It's all by the grace of God. Our Heavenly Father is to be praised for what He has done. Now, looking more specifically at the passage, one thing we notice here initially is that marriage, husband and wife, is the same as Christ and the church. Christ, head, love, wife, supporting, it's the same as the church. Now then, to the husband. Here is God's word to the husband in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. But you don't know what husbands, love your wives. But you don't know, husbands, love your wives. The husband is the head of the wife. So you put those two together. What does a husband do? He does what Christ does, who loved the church and gave himself for it, who is the head of the church and provides leadership. So what does a husband do? The husband provides loving leadership for the marriage and the family. That's clear. Can't be mistaken. He loves as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's sacrificial love. Love has not reached deeply until it becomes sacrificial. And I've had a lot of people ask me, how do you know when you're in love? Well, let me give you the act and definition, and you can quote me, it's okay. You know you're in love when you have found the person to whom you are willing to give your life. If you can't do it, don't get married. He loves and he leads. And he provides loving leadership, and that is security. Well, that's God's word to the husband. What is God's word to the wife? Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's clear. It is a God-given role. The husband does what Christ does, loves and leads. Now the wife does what the church does. And the church follows the head. The wife submits, responds, supports, and encourages the husband. Just as. It's just as. That's the word to the husbands, a word to the wives. That's God's design for a biblical family. Now, when this is followed, it is beautiful. It is glorious. It is wonderful. And in this kind of biblical family, boys in that family learn how to be a man, how to be a husband, and how to be a father. And girls in that home learn how to be a woman and learn how to be a wife and learn how to be a mother. It's in the home. Now, the usual pattern in our churches is that young people fall in love and they come and they want to be married. And a church leader, a pastor, will meet with them in what we call premarital counseling. And for myself, I have always required 6 sessions. It's not enough. You cannot prepare young people for marriage with 6 counseling sessions. They have already been formed in their perspective on life. They learn at home. You can't teach compassion and caring and faithfulness and how to serve in a few counseling sessions. It rubs off in the home. I can't emphasize enough the importance of a godly, biblical family. I remember one young man who had gone to a local university, and he was a Christian, a believer, had been exposed to all kinds of philosophies and psychologies and you know what goes on. And so there were some doubts that came along, and he was wondering about it all. And he said, there was one thing I could not escape, and that was my parents' marriage. I saw Christ in their marriage, and that held him. And it'll do the same for our young people. When this is followed, it's beautiful. When it isn't followed, there's chaos, confusion, anger, bitterness, jealousy. God is not glorified. Now, this is a difficult text. It could be hard for some women here this morning. It could be hard for some men. I understand that. But it is the Word of God. I will not change it. I will not twist it. I will not water it down. And I will not ignore it. If anybody agrees with me, say amen.
Amen.
A little weak. And some people said, well, Bill, you're hard on women, telling them to submit. No. I tell you, I have been so blessed with godly women, beginning with my mother. My mother was great. Couldn't have a better mother. I had an older sister who was like an angel on this earth. Wonderful. And then I have my wife. The greatest, the bestest, the mostest. Wonderful wife. Did I say that just like you told me to? Okay, because I, you know, no use being in trouble on Father's Day. And wonderful daughters, Debbie, Becky, Cindy, Christine, Sally, granddaughter Whitney, Sarah, and you know, there are godly women here in this church that just bless me. I want to say thank you. God bless you very much. Now, the problems that arise in not following this text of Scripture is the fact that men have abdicated leadership. Men have not taken their God-given role to be men and to be leaders, and have given those crucial areas over to women who are not emotionally ready to handle it. And women have been unwilling to follow the word of the Lord, some of them wanting to take over. When the roles are reversed, it's tragic. So there is a clear word to husbands. There is a clear word to wives. And now, children, young people, there is a clear word this morning. It begins in the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus. And here it is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, period. There's no way to get around that. Now in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, under the law, listen to this. Honor he who strikes his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. That's the law. He who curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And the report is there was very little juvenile delinquency. Thin out the population. Serious, isn't it? Clear word to husbands and wives and young people. Now, when we follow the biblical pattern, design, instruction, the results are wonderful. And I want to list a few things that happen, take place in a home that follows this Word of God. Number one, it is a Christ-centered home. He is the heir there as the head of that family. He is talked about. He is the center of conversation. It is Christ-centered. He is honored and he is followed. Secondly, in that home, there is Bible training. The father is the Bible teacher. And for fathers who need to be trained to do that, there is great training here in Reverence Bible Church. Great biblical teaching. Thirdly, in that home, there is worship. The family is together to worship and pray. And fourthly, it's a gracious home. And where grace is, there is acceptance. And there is forgiveness. And it's a home where everybody loves to come home. Isn't that great? I feel so sad for the people who don't want to go home. In this kind of home, everybody wants to come home. That's a wonderful thing. Fifthly, it's a peaceful home. There's no shouting or yelling or arguing. It's a peaceful family. It's a joyful family and a family that has fun. Be sure your family has fun. And if you're not sure how to do that, see my wife. What a wonderful thing that God has given us truth for husbands and fathers, wives and mothers and children, and given us the privilege of living in families. There's a call today. There's a biblical call to husbands and fathers, stand up, be a man, fulfill your God-given role to love and lead your family. Don't give that up. Rise up as a man of God and fulfill your role. There is a call today to wives and mothers. Respond to your husband's leadership with support and encouragement. Children, young people, honor your father, your mother. It's God's word to you. And when we do this, God our Father will be glorified. Christ will be honored and exalted. And the Holy Spirit will be honored and in control. And this spills out so that we are all blessed. And we will be one glorious biblical family together. building strong church to save our nation. Now, there are times when there's need for reconciliation in family. And I remember one such occasion. I was having a week of meetings in a church in a little town called Elk Grove, country town out just south of Sacramento. The theme was family, and along about Thursday or Friday night, I gave an invitation for people who wanted to pray or needed prayer of some kind to come. There was a prayer room over to the right of the platform, and I asked them to come when the service was dismissed. A few people came in, and I went over there, and then there comes a father, and he comes into the room. Presently, there comes his son. And we're all standing there. There's no word spoken. And then the tears begin to flow down that young man's face. It was a wooden floor, and the tears were making a puddle on the floor, and I can still see it. And then he looked up and said, "Pop, I'm sorry." And they had a great long hug. And then we all cried together. A wonderful family reconciliation. And then there are times when we just need to have a greater appreciation for our Heavenly Father. My father died when I was 10. Not everybody has a good and great father. Some of you may have not. But we have a great Heavenly Father. One time I was teaching a college group and a young man was leading the singing with his guitar. And he had had a terrible life with his father. And he introduced the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father." It so moved him. He couldn't begin the song, and the tears flowed. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, to me." Amen.